Ramsey TV.
Broadcasting from the edge of the bottom of the Floridan Peninsula, where I belong. Pay no attention to that hanger hanging on the closet doorknob. Now that I've pointed it out, you won't be able to see anything else but the hanger. That's all right. I can talk over it. This is Martin Zunder. As you are watching this video, I have already come back from the great Evansville meetings in the garage of Dean and Amy Wilkinson. However, that's as you're watching. But as I'm recording, it is still actually Thursday because I had to make a couple shows ahead of time. I'm going to tape the shows in Evansville, or somebody is, and I will broadcast them as part of an MZTV presentation. I wanted to get that out of the way before the serious topic of today, and it is a serious topic. In fact, it's a matter of life and death, and that's not an exaggeration. But first, I want to read a couple emails that I got. I wanted to do that on Friday, but I forgot. This one is by John Phipps. John Phipps sent me this in the wake of my show called Steve McVeigh and Other Professional Fakers. Steve McVeigh being apparently a popular, quote, evangelist, unquote. He doesn't know the evangel, which is why I put that in quotes. I had never heard of the guy. He was mentioned by Bob McLaurin, who I interviewed here. Great guy, Bob McLaurin. Do you remember that interview? He told me how, and this is relevant to the email, Bob told me how he had been listening to the radio one day a couple years ago, I guess it was, and he heard McVeigh, Steve McVeigh, on the radio. I guess the guy's out of Atlanta. No, he's out. Well, I think Bob told me he was out of Atlanta, but according to my calculations, he's out of St. Petersburg. But anyway, McVeigh was reading 1 Corinthians 15, 21, and 22. That is, that as an animal are dying, thus also in Christ shall all be vivified. King James says, made alive. I can go with that. This is a verse we often use, among others, to prove the salvation of all humanity in due time. Steve McVeigh doesn't believe in the salvation of all humanity. But it didn't matter on that day because he was reading the verse, and the power of the Word of God acted upon our friend and fellow believer, Bob McLaurin, and he got the salvation of all truth then and there. Unfortunately, the guy who read the verse didn't get it at all. Quite a shock, quite a strange thing. It's because, as I told you last week, it's because McVeigh likes to play the game of grace. He likes to play the game of salvation. He likes to use all the buzzwords like Savior of all, God is sovereign, Jesus Christ died for the sins of the world. Likes to push all those wonderful, glorious phrases to the forefront, and yet when you probe behind the announcement, he doesn't believe a damn word of it. Doesn't believe it. Says God is sovereign, believes in human free will. Says Jesus is the Savior of all humanity, believes most of humanity will be separated from God for eternity. Says Jesus Christ died for our sins, yet he's a declared Trinitarian who thinks that Jesus Christ is God. God can't die, therefore Jesus Christ didn't die. So stop saying we're saved by the death of Christ. You hypocrite, you. Sorry. No, I'm not sorry. Now we get to the email by John Phipps, who calls himself JNTB. I think I'm going to meet this man at the conference, which as you are watching this on Monday has already transpired. JNTB, John Not the Baptist. So that I won't be confusing him with John the Baptist, he calls himself John Not the Baptist. This is what he said about my video, Steve McVeigh and Other Professional Fakers. Glad you nailed that faker, McVeigh. Bob didn't get inspiration from him. He got inspiration from the Word of God that McVeigh just happened to be reading. Not the first time, as noted in Scripture, that God has used a jackass to convey his message. Reference to Balaam there from the Hebrew Scriptures. You're right. Bob's spirit got the truth that was conveyed right away. Our spirits are tuned in to His truth, God's truth, no matter who or what conveys it. Great quote. Thank you for that, John Knott the Baptist. So, we have in Steve McVeigh and his ministry, we have a case here of a man who honestly thinks that he has the truth, and yet he speaks lies. And it doesn't matter what one supposes of one's self outwardly, it's the inward conviction that indicates to us the actual theology of a person. And there's no greater litmus test of the inner conviction of someone, no greater litmus test than to confront them with the undiluted, unadulterated truth and see what they do. Confront them with the truth that death is death, and that the dead are not alive, and that Jesus Christ was stone cold dead for 3 days, and that their relatives who died don't exist now. Try that one on and see their reaction. Their reaction will tell you what their gut theology is, and it will probably be that they don't believe a word of Scripture. They don't believe what God says about death. Tell them that in the fullness of time, God is going to reconcile all creation to Himself, including all humanity. And don't beat around the bush. Don't hang a carrot in front of them. Tell them that. Tell them point blank, God is the Savior of all humanity. Watch what happens. Watch what happens. If they recoil against it, then they are betraying their true belief that they don't believe Jesus Christ successfully saved the world or took away the sin at the cross. That's a pretty heinous belief. They won't express that belief outwardly, and that was my rant at the end of last week. The hypocrisy of not expressing it outwardly, of hiding it behind Christian cliches and happy little words, happy buzz phrases. But underneath it, you really do believe that some people are burning in hell for eternity right now. My own son told me that. My son, who I raised in the truth with my other two sons, he got snared. He was seduced by Satan into the Christian church, and now he's becoming a leader in the Christian church. And he told me 3 or 4 months ago now that he believes his grandparents, my mom and dad, are now burning in hell. And he said it with no emotion, without a blink of his eyes, because he has been indoctrinated into a cult, and he's been brainwashed. I almost wanted to put my hand in front of him and say, Paul, I know you're in there. I know you're in there somewhere. Trying to reach the essential man there that I know is there. But it's been captured. It's been captured. It's heinous. It's heinous. It's hideous. This is why I believe that, oh, and of course, the other thing that people will instantly reveal their soul is when you tell them that there's no such thing as human free will. You don't beat around the bush. Well, just think about this. No, don't think about it. Tell them there's no such thing as human free will. For all the talk of the sovereignty of God, God is sovereign. God is sovereign. God's running the universe. God's in charge of everything. They don't really believe it because they're on. This is saying the best. The best that can be said is they're on the fence. But that is horrible, because what does God say in the book of Revelation concerning those who are neither hot nor cold? He says, I wish you were either hot or cold, but because you're lukewarm, because you don't fall on either side of the fence, I spew you out of my mouth. Those aren't my words. That's the words of the Scripture. Spew you out of my mouth. Martin, how can you be talking this way and you still believe that everyone's going to be saved? Yes, everyone's going to be saved, but that's down the road. In the meantime, there are judgments that will bring people to the truth. But this is what I'm for. I'm for bringing people to the truth now, which brings me to the subject du jour, which is even some of you are on the fence. Not in your personal beliefs, because I know you're sold on this truth. You're sold. So maybe I shouldn't say you're on the fence. What I mean to say is you are hesitant to bring this truth to your family members or your friends. And I know why. Because rejection hurts. And perhaps you've already done it, in which case I credit you. In which case, Paul says, after one and a second admonition, then turn them away. They're self-condemned. See you at the great white throne. That's what I've done with my son. I've come at him more than twice. Over. Oh, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 times. And I finally have to let it go. Not to say that I won't say something again, but it's like, okay, see you at the great white throne. It's like, okay. I'm tempted to say, okay, now it's in God's hands. But of course, you know, it's always in God's hands. But I'm not a fatalist, because God works through human beings to bring the message. God doesn't write in the sky. He doesn't put his finger and write words on the wall like he did in the days of Belshazzar and the Babylonian Empire. No, he doesn't do that. Read Romans 10. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by a word of, by the word of God. The word of God comes by messengers. Those who are sent, those who have glad tidings. Blessed and happy are the feet of those who bring a tiding of good. And the evangel is a tiding of good. So God brings it to people. So if you don't tell your family members, I'm speaking now to those of you who are on the fence as far as you don't want to stir the waters. You don't want to make waves. Well, let me ask you this. If your loved one was standing in a railroad, in a railroad track, and a train was coming, and they're not paying attention, they're on their cell phones, are you going to not pull them off the track because you don't want to bother them? I don't want to interrupt you. They're dead. Okay. Train runs them over. They're standing at the Great White Throne. Why the hell did you let me die? Well, I didn't want to interrupt your cell phone call. You were really into the texting, you know, and I didn't want to bother you. You didn't want to bother me. Thanks a million, you jerk. You hated me. Oh, I am once again the ghost of Christmas future. Don't let this happen to you. Where your loved one at the Great White Throne looks at you and says, dude, why the hell didn't you tell me? You had the words of aeonian life. You knew that I had death screwed up. You knew that I thought death was life, and therefore I could not believe in the death of Christ. And because I didn't believe in the death of Christ for my sins, I didn't believe in Paul's evangel. Therefore, I missed the whole 1,000 years. I was dead during the whole 1,000 years. And now here I stand, I look at you and say, and you were the guy who had the truth, why the hell didn't you bring it to me? Well, I didn't want to bother you. You seemed like, I didn't want you to be mad at me, and you know, I would. Really? How many kids say when they're adults that, man, I wish my parents would have forced me to take piano lessons, or would have been harder on me, would have given me more discipline. Because my parents did not discipline me, did not teach me positive things, did not like insert their values into my life, therefore now I'm in jail. Oh, my parents come and visit me in jail. Oh, we're so sorry you're in jail. It's your fault, you numbnuts. And rightly so, rightly so, rightly so. Why didn't you teach me your values? Why didn't you teach me to play the piano? Well, you really didn't want to, and I didn't want to push myself on you, and you put up a little temper tantrum, so I had to give you a piece of cake. I had to give you a piece of cake and a lollipop so that you wouldn't be mad at me. I didn't want you to resent me for the rest of my life. Oh, so here I am in jail resenting you for 5 to 10. Yeah, and there I am at the Great White Throne resenting you for the 1,000 years that I missed because I was dead. I could have immortal life right now if you had brought the truth to me. But you're afraid to because of temporal discomfort. You're afraid to because you feared my reaction. You didn't want me to be mad at you because you want to be liked by everybody. Oh, sure. Now listen, I understand you want to be liked by your kids, by your wife, by your husband. Of course, you have to tread carefully. I'm not talking about coming in like gangbusters, but I'm not talking about beating around the bush either. There's no time for that. There is no time for that. Time is short. How long are you going to screw around with this? How long will you screw around with this? Will you screw around until it's too late? Or will you bring them the evangel stated in positive terms, not in breadcrumbs strewn along a path, not in a carrot dangled in front of them and danced around in front of their nose, not in little hints and little clues that lead them first to the cupboard, then to the closet, then to the basement. Ooh, here's another clue. No, declare it. Declare the truth positively. And then at the same time, tell them what's wrong. Your belief about death is wrong. Your belief about free will is wrong. And these are fatal beliefs. So I'm asking you to pretty much, you know, almost like become, do what the Christians do, only with the right message. The Christians say, well, you have to believe this now or it'll be too late. They do it thinking that it's up to the human being to do it. We do it because we're not fatalists. The fact is, relatively speaking, that if you don't believe this before the snatching away, it will be too late. You won't be in the body of Christ. But Martin, God already knows who's in the body of Christ. I know that. I'm not a fatalist, and you're not a fatalist. If you are, I'll kick you out of your fatalism. I'll slap you upside your fatalist head and tell you to get in there and do something. This is what Paul did. Paul was active. When the Philippian jailer said, gentlemen, what must I do to be being saved? Paul didn't say, there's nothing you can do. You know, it's up to God. You know, unless he puts his spirit in you, you can't do nothing, you know. So just sit here, I guess, and then wait. No, he said, believe. Now, believe. Believe this. Believe what I'm telling you, and you'll be having aeonian life. So the jailer said, oh, okay, I'll believe it. What if Paul had said, you can't do anything. You know, it's up to God. Well, God chooses who he wants ahead of time, and maybe he's chosen you. Maybe he is. Who knows? The Philippian jailer would just sit there scratching his head. He'd be scratching his head. And then he'd be totally pissed off at the great white throne. There's Paul. He turns to Paul and says, why did you pull the fatalism card on me? Why didn't you just tell me to believe? But Paul already knew this, and he told the guy to believe. This is what I'm telling you to do now. I'm the ghost of Christmas future. I don't want you to have to face your loved ones at the great white throne, have them turn to you and say, what the hell, dude?